Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, absolutely doing wonderful, Austin. Yesterday I talked right at the end of the show for just a second about the Nuremberg Code and how it established the principle of informed consent. And I want to cover that with you guys one more time, because now we're dealing with the forced vaccine here in the United States, using the military to apply the vaccine, and hopefully all of this stuff is just hyperbole, and hopefully it doesn't happen. But what happened after the war in Germany, 23 physicians, including Karl Brandt, Adolf Hitler's personal physician, were charged as defendants in Nuremberg. The most notorious offender was Joseph Mengele of Auschwitz, but he escaped and was never brought to justice. The court found that the Nazi government had instituted a clear policy of performing cruel and unnecessary painful experiments of dubious scientific merit on non-consenting prisoners, mostly Poles, Jews, Gypsies, homosexuals, and the handicapped. The trial under Judge Beals basically, lasted, from December the 9th, 1946 to August the 20th, 1947. Seven defendants were acquitted and 16 were convicted, including Brandt, and they were sentenced to be hanged. Now, what they found was this. They found that the voluntary consent of human subjects is absolutely essential. In other words, you can't experiment on people and not have their consent. So if they would experiment on us on a new vaccine, they have to have our consent. The experiment should be done in such a way to yield fruitful results of good to society. The experiment should be so designed and based on the results of animal experimentation in beforehand and the knowledge of natural history. In other words, you got to make sure you don't kill people. You got to test it on animals first and make sure it's done right. The experiment should also be conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. This is the big problem that we have with vaccines right now, any type of vaccines, being linked to autism. They're causing all of these problems, but because of the Vaccine Act that was signed by Reagan, people don't have a legal realm to go after the manufacturer. They got to go to the vaccine court. The degree of risk to be taken should never exceed determined by humanitarian importance. Proper preparation be made, adequate facilities provided. The experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons, and during the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end. In other words, I've had enough. I'm done. And also, during the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage. And these are the 10 principles that were enumerated through the Nuremberg trials. And this is really, really important because, guys, you can't just experiment on people or give them stuff that's not been tested properly just because you say you have a right to plunge a needle into somebody's arm. That's not okay. There's no positive part of that. If someone says to you, you need to be vaccinated or you need to take this drug so you stay safe, so we can protect you, and you say, I don't want you to do that. It's kind of like just as a loose metaphor, it's kind of like motorcycle helmets. A lot of states still require you have helmets. A lot of helmet states say that you don't have to have helmets. It's kind of like seat belts. You make it a law that a person has to wear a helmet because you're trying to protect that person, but the person doesn't want to wear a helmet. Now, personally, I ride motorcycles. I have since I was like 18, 19 years old. I don't have any motorcycles currently because the traffic down here has gotten so bad I have no interest in it any longer. But I always wore a helmet. But if I didn't want to wear a helmet, I shouldn't have to. That's how I look at it. If I want to take a risk and not be vaccinated with a coronavirus vaccine, that's an RNA vaccine that's going to rewrite my doggone genetic code, I shouldn't have to do that. Because the potentials and the risk are too high for me, in my opinion. So this is the problem that we run into when we start dealing with medical ethics. This is why the Nuremberg Code was written and established after the war atrocities that were done in World War II. They would do crazy stuff like freeze people to death and see how long it would take to die. Just sick stuff. And they were doing it because they were prisoners of war. And they weren't given a choice whether or not they wanted to be experimented on. But, of course, the United States has done the same thing. We talked about that yesterday in many different cases in which we subjected the population to certain poisons or compounds or diseases to see, what would happen and what kind of medical treatment they'd have. During World War II, our soldiers were forced to watch nuclear explosions in order to be subjected to radiation to see if they would die, to see what the effects were going to be, just to experiment on them. This kind of stuff is what they're talking about with the Nuremberg Code. And this is the problem that we have right now in the United States, is that we're being forced to do things if this forced vaccine takes place that we don't want to do. And what we have right now also going on in the United States is a bunch of psychological dissonance. And this is being brought along by Q and the Deep State and CIA and Operation Mockingbird. Let me give you a little bit of psychology stuff this morning. I have a degree in psychology, so does Austin. And let's talk about psychology projection for one second. That's dealing with undesirable emotions. Psychological projection is a defense mechanism people subconsciously employ in order to cope with difficult feelings or emotions. Psychological projection involves projecting undesirable feelings or emotions onto someone else rather than admitting or dealing with the unwanted feelings. Have you ever disliked someone only to become convinced that the person has a vendetta against you? This is a common example of psychological projection. This is the wife who's having an affair on the husband, who then says, my husband's having an affair on me. And the husband doesn't have an affair at all, but she's saying he's having an affair on me, so she could project this onto him so it can justify her actions. You see it with children and parents and in relationships. The daughter gets mad at the father, and all of a sudden she has to start saying that other people don't like the father. She says, well, my mother-in-law says she doesn't like my father either. And the mother-in-law never said that. Now, the reason that's happening is that child is projecting her feelings onto someone else, making the other person say what she feels so she doesn't have to deal with the emotions or the consequences of the emotional blowback from it. And in reality, this is what we're basically doing with Q and everything else. We're projecting. We're not accepting the facts of what's going on. And, oh, we have Q out there, and Q is going to protect us. There are other kind of common defense mechanisms. They include denial. This is refusing to admit to yourself that something is real. You know, not believing the doctor when they say you have high blood pressure. No, I don't have high blood pressure. I deny that. I'm not going to have that happen. Okay? You have distortion, changing the reality of the situation to suit your needs. This is, again, this is what thinking that your boyfriend cheated on you because he was scared of commitment. You know, you distort the facts. Then you end up with things like passive aggression. That's one of my favorite ones, I guess, people like to use. You basically get mad at somebody else, but you don't want to deal with it, so you park in their parking spot at work just to be, you know, just to get even. And then you get repression, covering up your feelings or emotions of coming to terms with them, being unable to recall the details of a car crash you were involved in. Of course, they say the brain sometimes will purposely lose these memories to help you cope. You know, I spoke to a guy just a few weeks ago. He was arrested for spousal abuse. And suddenly he says, I don't remember anything that happened. I'm blank. It must have been my blood sugar. I don't remember anything. That's a form of psychological repression when you do things that you don't remember. Now, sometimes you can just be pretending like you have psychological repression. You just want to talk about it. You figure if you don't admit to anything, you'll be better off. And this, we have another one that's called sublimination. That's converting negative feelings into positive actions. In other words, you get really mad because your husband came home late or your wife came home late, and so you start cleaning the house whenever you're angry about something. Or, of course, some people go shopping. They get mad about something, they grab the credit card, they run out the door, they go, I'm going to go buy something. Okay, hey, that's going to help when you get the bill in. That's going to really make everybody else happy. And then you have disassociation. This is substantially but temporarily changing your personality to avoid feelings of emotion. Let me give you an example. I was really upset when my mom died, right? And they asked me, or they wanted me to, the family wanted me to, and I chose to speak at the funeral, you know, and do the eulogy. So I had to disassociate myself from the funeral. I had to clear the mechanism, so to speak. I had to say, look, I got to deal with this right now. I've got to speak. At my mom's funeral, I can grieve at a later point after the funeral, which I was able to do. It's very difficult to do that for me, but I could do it. Same thing happens if you're about to do a seminar and you get bad news, but you know you got to do the seminar and there's nothing you can do about the bad news. You go ahead and speak at the seminar and deal with the bad news later. You clear the mechanism. It happens all the time in sports when a person's the pitcher or the person is the quarterback or one of the key players, and they've had a personal issue happen right before the game starts, and you've got to clear the mechanism. I should tell Sharon, and I don't know why Sharon would do this because I love her. We've been married for 36 years, but years ago, and I still have no idea why this would go on, I would be leaving to go on a trip to go speak at one of the big conventions that I used to do back in the 90s. I'd be speaking to 40,000 people, and she'd start an argument with me like the morning I'm leaving. I'm like, what the heck, Sharon? I said, I don't know why you're doing this. I'm not, you go with me on the trip. I don't care. But why are you starting an argument with me? And see, there are all kinds of different things that we do, you know, as individuals, as protective mechanisms. And this is exactly what's happening with Q. I was on with ManCow this morning, and he specifically brought up, if you wonder why I'm talking about all this stuff today, I was on with ManCow this morning again, and he asked me, he says, hey, look, you know, I was on with you on Hagman on Friday night, had a great show, but we kind of disagreed on a few things, and one of them was Q. Now, we really didn't disagree on the Q thing, we disagreed on the Trump thing, but I guess he doesn't remember what we talked about as clearly as I do on Friday, because I basically talk about this stuff all the time. And I told him, I said, you know, the Q phenomenon is being used as basically a way for people to put their hopes and their dreams into an imaginary figure such as Q. In other words, it's not my responsibility to stand against the deep state. Q's going to do it. It's not my responsibility to stand against the deep state. Donald Trump's going to do it. It's not my responsibility to be involved in politics and to protest what they're doing. Trump's doing it. Q's doing it. There's 175,000 people who are going to be arrested here shortly because Trump's cleaning out the deep state. And see, this is the projection that we're doing. We're believing that other people are doing things for us so we don't have to think about being involved in it. This is a problem. This is a huge problem. And these guys who run the country, these weirdos, these ones who run around in black robes and do weird things, and I'm not talking about the judges, though they may be involved in a few of these things too. I'm talking about the satanic group. These guys really know from a psychological standpoint, because remember, they're one of their guys was Sigmund Freud, who was a Sabbatean Kabbalist. He was a Luciferian. His cousin, Bernays, who was the father of marketing and advertising, basically was also a Sabbatean Kabbalist. So these guys were Satanists, to put it in a loose term, and they really believed in manipulation of the human psyche. And this is what they were involved in. And so they're using this Q figure to basically come in and defuse the American patriot community and the American evangelicals into believing that everything's going to be okay if we just follow the plan and let Trump do whatever Trump wants to do. This is the same mindset that they're going to say to you, oh, by the way, we're not going to really inject you with the coronavirus vaccine. Q says this. They're going to inject you with a saline solution. It's not a real vaccine. So just go ahead and line up and do this because we have to pretend like it's okay. So we're going to line up and basically just get injected, but there's nothing really in the syringe. We're going to go ahead and do it this way because that'll make the plan work better. You say, oh, they won't do that. Oh, yeah, they could do all kinds of, and the Q people would believe it. They'd believe it. Or let's say it this way. They're going to line you up in front of a firing squad, and they give you a shovel, and they tell you to dig a ditch behind you so when your body falls into the ditch, they can cover you up and they can save the labor cost of having to dig a hole for you to be buried in. But they're not really going to shoot you. This is all psychological. What they're going to do is they're going to videotape this so we can use it in the Q movement so that you guys will realize that Donald Trump's in charge. None of this is going to really happen. You guys go ahead and dig your own grave. They're going to line you up in front of the grave, and they're going to shoot you with blanks. And you're going to pretend like you got shot, and you're going to fall into the ditch. It's all going to be a psych out. We're going to record it. Well, guess what? You dig your own hole. They line you up. They shoot you, and they weren't using blanks. And you're now dead. And now you're thinking as you're falling into the ditch, wow, that really hurt. I have no idea what just happened, but I think I made a mistake. This is the problem with this psychological dissonance and this projection and all the other things. Some people call it transposition. When you want to transpose other people's feelings or other people's attitudes onto someone else like a Q figure and say they'll take care of it. This is what we're dealing with right now in the United States. The problem is the evangelicals who have backed Donald Trump as a messiah figure, who refuse to see what he has been doing and what he's involved in, they're allowing this to occur because they believe that they're going to get raptured and sit up in the heavenly grandstands and applaud from the heavens and watch all hell break loose on earth as the Antichrist is unleashed. Again, this was promoted by the Zionists, the Kabbalists, who basically forced this thought on American population and evangelical Christians over 100 years ago to basically defuse them from being involved actively in politics. This is what they're doing. It's all a psychological mess is what it is. And they're using the things that they've learned over the last hundreds of years, actually the last thousands of years as far as human nature, into making people believe. They used to bring their daughters, the Mayans and the Incans, and their children willingly and happily to the priests to be sacrificed because they needed a sacrifice to ensure proper crops. And they would be happy about bringing these priests, these children to kill. This has been going on a long time, guys. They used to have the fertility rituals, you know, over in Europe, in which they'd have these giant orgies, you know, in the summertime. And they would have babies born in the springtime. And they would have these babies sacrificed as a offering to the fertility god and the first fruit. All this stuff they were doing was all based upon the ancient Canaanite fertility rituals and the Egyptian mythology and the feeding of these gods who like to have the energy from these children fed to them via abortion or sacrifice. And we sat back and we watched all this happen now. And now it's become normal that we've killed 60 million children in the United States via abortion. And it's over 1,000 a day, every day, every day. It's funny. The churches are closed, but the abortion clinics are open. Isn't that amazing? The churches are closed, but the abortion clinics are open. And all of this stuff is being done to us from a psychological standpoint to defuse the patriot community. I know I'm being redundant. I'm going to say it again. And to defuse the evangelicals. I mean, Donald Trump would literally have to nuke Israel and wipe them off the face of the earth in order for the evangelicals to turn against him at this point. It's the nuttiest thing I've ever seen. And yet, here we are. Churches are still closed. Some of them are reopening. The economy has been crushed. Major manufacturers are still shut down. Airlines are pretty much going bankrupt. All of these things to slow down the economic world engine that is controlled by these same guys, these Kabbalist bankers, to slow down the economy, to decrease demand, to lower the velocity of money so they can massively inflate and cover up all the crimes they did with the M1 currency or the currency in circulation in order to allow their Ponzi scheme to continue and to maintain the integrity of the petrodollar as the reserve currency while they usher in a new world order with a digital currency. All of this stuff is being done right now, and we're all watching it in slow motion real time, and we're like, what the heck? But yet the world is so asleep because of what they've done with the statin drugs, tricyclic antidepressants, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and fluoride. We've dumbed the population down so badly that the population, as long as they're getting their monthly stimulus check, their monthly Social Security check, their monthly welfare check, and access to all the drugs they can take, both prescription and illegal, including the heroin coming out of Afghanistan, which no one will talk about but us, the $1.5 trillion a year worth of heroin, the third largest commodity in the world, which runs the black ops, no one will talk about this. No one else wants to talk about, very often, about the off-world technology that's being used to enslave us, including this RNA vaccine and all of the stuff that they learned from the spaceships being crashed in Roswell. They don't want you to know that the circuit board and all the stuff that came from those things are basically fallen angel technologies, what this is going to be, and it's being used to enslave us in a giant groupthink hive mind so they can basically control us via 5G transmissions. And they want us to social distance so they have better signal location on where you are and what you're doing. I mean, this whole thing is crazy. You think, well, this is all silly. Well, this sounds pretty doggone crazy and silly to me too. The problem is we've been warning about steps of this, pieces of this puzzle for the last 7-8 years on the show. And I've been warning people about it for the last 30 years. But now here we are. And all of the stuff that we were talking about is coming to fruition. And people are going, well, wait a minute. What you said was true. And I'm going, yeah, it was. And now it still is. And the problem is the dissidence. They don't want to believe it's true because it's easier to believe the lie. Remember what Jesus said? Light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. also it says that a veil has been put apart around the hearts and the minds of these people on this planet so they cannot see or know the truth. They don't want to look at the truth because the truth is ugly. They don't want to look at the truth because the truth doesn't allow them to live their little lives in their little fantasy worlds that they've created around them with all this projection and all the other stuff that they do. And this is what's happening right now. And this is why it's been so easy to enslave the population of the planet, because they've been programmed to think this way. They've been programmed to act this way. And the evangelicals, especially the preachers that are the name it, claim it, Blavatnik group, they can't even deal with this right now. They don't know what to do. Their little empires that they built, including their private jets and their lifestyles, are crumbling around them, and they don't know how to handle it. And they finally begin to realize that the 501(c) corporation, why it gave them tremendous money and fame, especially the TV evangelicals and lifestyles, it's a double-edged sword which can be shut down on them at any time they want. So this is where we find ourselves right now. So all I can say to all of you this morning is this. I've warned you, Austin's warned you, the alt media in most cases have tried to warn the people for 20, 30 years of what's really happening, and now what we see is happening. But they forget one thing, that we, that you and I, if you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that we are in covenant, a blood covenant through Christ with the Most High God, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, you say, well, does that mean we're not going to have issues? No, we're going to have to deal with all of this stuff. But it means we have hope and we have joy. It's not in Q or some imagined figure. It's in Jesus Christ, a historical figure, a real man, the real Son of God, who was crucified by these same people. These they weren't Sabbatean Kabbalists back then. You would call them the Druid Satanic class or whatever you want to call them. The Egyptian mythology groups, the weirdos. He called them the synagogue of Satan. He also called them the children of the devil. But he was resurrected by the Most High God. It changed the entire calendar of the Roman Empire and converted the entire Roman group to Christianity within a few hundred years. And this is one of the most hedonistic group of people that ever existed on the face of this planet. And so this is the power of the Most High. And we have the ability to stand firm now with Christ to know that we're going to win this war. These skirmishes, these battles, they may go to the enemy. That's a fact. I mean, we've seen that already with the abortion issue and everything else. But guys, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can commit our plans to the Lord and they will succeed. Because we have hope. Because we know as soon as we accept Jesus Christ, we leave this planet. We all are going to leave the planet eventually. And when we leave the planet, we go to be with God Almighty, the great I Am, for all eternity. And this is what we have to have. We have to have hope and future. But we also have to have the ability and the willingness to stand against this stuff and to call it out when we see it. Because if we don't, it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. Donald Trump was not the answer. We are not going to have a political solution to a spiritual problem. You know, if anything, we're going to have to go in and clean out the government. We're going to have to go in there and re-elect officials who aren't compromised by the deep state or by this satanic group. We saw that with Jeffrey Epstein. We now know he was working with Mossad. He was a Mossad agent. He was an Israeli citizen, dual Israeli citizenship. He basically was part of this giant synagogue of Satan that was going on around the world. He had an altar, a temple built on his island. And many people are now saying, and I can't substantiate this, nor can I prove it, that he was conducting human ritual sacrifice at that temple. I don't know if he was doing that, but it sure falls in line with what these crazy people were doing down there and what they were involved in over there, these castles and dungeons in London. See, this is what we have to understand, that we are still being controlled by an ancient Canaanite, Druidic, Egyptian religion that involves sex and death and sacrifice, and we have to stand against this stuff. We have to stand against all of it, and we've got to call it out when we see it, because this, quote, deep state is run by these guys, including the international banking community. And what we have to look at is this. What options? Where can we go from here? What can we do as a patriot or as a Christian? Now, the most important thing you can do is to pray. Because when you pray, you basically create scalar waves. And these scalar waves literally change the fabric of time-space. This is one of the reasons they've taken us out of the churches. Because most Christians, I hate to say it, probably 80% of them, don't pray much. They don't pray on a regular basis. They don't pray every day. and they don't pray out loud, and they don't pray with their families, which all of you guys should be doing that every single day. I just prayed with Sharon this morning. In fact, we had Hunter, our grandson, sat here and prayed with us this morning. Because if we all pray in unison, we could go ahead and fight this unseen, interdimensional, these entities that run the planet, because they're scared of Jesus. Because when you pray in Jesus' name, they don't know if he's going to show up or not, and they don't want him showing up, because he's already proven to them that he's part of the Most High God, and they understand that, and they don't want to be around this. That's why in these deep underground caverns, you can't mention the name of Jesus, even in using it in slang or under your breath. You got to sign all these affidavits, supposedly, when you go into these areas, in order not to use these terms like Jesus Christ or the Messiah or the Chosen One, or the Redeemer, or the Savior, or the Good Shepherd, or the Counselor, or the Lamb of God, or the Prince of Peace. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Lord of all, Lord God Almighty, Resurrection and Life, King of Kings, the Son of God. They don't want you talking about that. Why? Because of the power. Because he's our Deliverer. He's our Redeemer. He's our Messiah. He's the way. And God said, this is what's so important that we understand about Christianity. But need I digress any further? Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Well, that was well said. I mean, you're 100% right about that. And what we're starting to see is now, and going back to something you said at the beginning about the mandatory vaccinations, I think that the blowback and the amount of people that have been so very vocal about not wanting to get a vaccine and not being forcibly vaccinated, I think has woken more people up and more people up. And in turn, it's also woken these globalist bankers up on what the populace really will and won't do. And this is something that we had talked about a couple months ago, and this is where I think it's going to go, just my personal opinion. I don't think they're going to try to forcibly come to the door and kick your door in and hold you down and shoot you with a vaccine, because quite frankly, that would be so counterproductive on so many levels that not only would you start to have massive gunfights on a regular basis, you would have such a blowback from the normal community, even the community that's asleep, because they'd be like, this is so violent. What they're doing is now, and I got a post from Brad earlier, he sent me a photo of it, and I pulled it up, and sure enough, this website, CoviPass, is up and running now. And it is the like newest, latest, greatest, updated system that they want everybody to have on their phone. What it is CoviPass is equipped with military-grade encryption that has more than 2.2 quintillion variations of code, which securely correspond to certified tests, all of which can do something different based on the details of the scanner. CoviPass can manage the end-to-end process from test to secure digital health passport. CoviPass is agnostic to any COVID-19 test brand or source and can integrate with all global COVID test manufacturers. During this global COVID-19 pandemic, the world is searching for a secure solution to hold test, immunoresponse information, and vaccination details from now and into the future. CoviPass has been developed to be the world's most secure digital health passport solution. It goes on to say on their front page, CoviPass, the world's most secure digital health passport built on patented technology, awarded the seal of excellence by the European Commission and being used by various United Nations projects. I'm going to post a link to this on the website. You guys can look this up. This is not a joke. This is not a fake news. This is very, very real. This website is 100% legit. I looked it up. This has been technology they've been working on for years. Ironically, they want to say that this just came out of the blue and they just happened to put this together in the middle of this pandemic, which is complete and total crap. There's no way you can put this level of technology, tracking, monitoring, integrated system worldwide in a period of 2 months. It just doesn't happen. It's physically impossible. This thing's been floating around for a while. What's crazy about this, if you scroll all the way down, where the V code, that's what you have on it. It's got this big code thing. If you look at it, it's got your name, all your information. I mean, completely and totally invasive on, I mean, literally everything about you. It's actually quite creepy when you look at it. Well, then when you go to the V code, which is going to be connected to like every aspect of your life. Here's what it says here, the V code. One code, infinite possibilities. So this is going to be one single code that's going to be written on your phone, or they're discussing giving some type of biometric system to be able to handle it, or putting this code on you. So it's like, you know, the VRF codes and stuff they have like that. It's what that is, basically, on steroids. And it says here, has a list of everything. One code, infinite possibilities. Your work ID, your contact details, your national ID. There you go. Remember the National ID Act? That crap they put together on everybody's driver's license. The reason why, it's all tying together now. Your passport, your travel tickets, event tickets, loyalty schemes, payment methods, education details, crypto wallet, immigration details, dental records, medical details, and infinite possibilities. This is exactly what they've been gearing up for years now, guys. This has taken years to develop this type of system to implement. Years. They've been waiting for the perfect time to roll this out, and now they have the perfect excuse. And as I said before, you scroll down on there, and it doesn't just talk about your health or your test results. It blatantly says to hold test, immunoresponse information, and vaccination details for now and into the future. What this is supposed to do is it's supposed to allegedly safely facilitate safe return to work and life. That's what it says right here in bold. COVID pass safely facilitates safe return to work and life. What they're probably going to do, and this is my opinion, but I'm pretty well accurate about this in my opinion. They are going to implement this thing, and it's going to be mandatory to get it in order to pretty much do anything. There's already been offices and companies and businesses now that have reopened that are now basically forcing people to social distance, having people put up guidelines as far as what you can and can't do, actually even to monitoring people, how close they are from one another. This is the beginning of full-blown Big Brother tyranny throughout the entire world. And my question is, this is my main question, because I can't find it anywhere in here. Who's going to monitor all this stuff all the time? Who's going to keep tracks on all this stuff? Who's going to have all this information? Because this is some pretty invasive information, guys. We're talking about every facet of your life, everything you do, everything you've done, everything that you're planning on doing. This is going to be in one code. It's going to be everything about you to a T, including basically your DNA, because they're going to have all your information in there, all of it in one place, to be able to monitor, track, trace, suppress, control anything they want to do in one single fail swoop. So this is how I think it's pretty much going to roll. I don't think they're going to forcibly go in and try to hold people down and vaccinate them. I think people are going to get so sick of not being able to go out, so sick of not working, and so hungry and wanting to do something and go to the store, that people will capitulate and sign up for COVID pass and get a vaccine just so they can return to some type of normal way of life. The problem is this will never be normal again unless we say no to all of this. We don't need this. They've already said now, if you look at the CDC results that came out, they've already come out now and said basically on the scenario 5, as their best estimate now as this happened, the overall death rate, they're saying, is 0.004. 0.004. That's what they're saying now, the death rate of this is. And when you average it all together, it's literally hardly anything when it comes down to it. Actual real death rates. Not, oh, so-and-so committed suicide, but we tested them post-death for COVID, and they tested positive, so it's a COVID death. No. Actual deaths directly related to COVID. And so what's crazy about this, guys, is we're literally seeing the entire buildup of the New World Order via the United Nations, via all these other bankers that are coming in now, and a lot of people don't realize what's happening. And that's why it's so important, again, get this information out there. Keep talking about this. Spread this info. And so many people, you know, it's frustrating because you'll bring this up to some people, and they're like, oh, I don't care. You know, remember people all used to say that 10, 15 years ago? Remember, well, I get arguments with people when we talk about the NSA, you know, especially after Snowden brought up the information about them basically dragnetting the entire world's internet, monitoring everything. And people go, I don't have anything to hide. I don't care. I don't care if they look at what I look at. I don't look at anything bad. And I'm like, you're missing the point. They're completely and totally violating your privacy. They're monitoring what you do. Oh, it's fine, man. I don't have anything to hide. I'm not worried about it. Well, guess what, guys? That whole NSA monitoring your web history, that was peanuts. I mean, that was small fry now compared to this. This COVID pass is like an entire aspect of the NSA on just massive amounts of drugs and steroids and you name it. I mean, it's so blown up now, the fact that this is actually about to become the new normal and they're going to try to use this to implement it so people can safely return to work and life, which is a complete and total lie. Because you have to understand, once this is in place, that point in time, they can start doing exactly what China does with their social credit score. Because best believe, guys, this is going to have that implemented into it. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago about multiple universities that were working on the COVID risk assessment score? So basically, depending on how a good little slave you are, if you made sure you social distance and you didn't get around people that tested positive or you didn't do anything you weren't supposed to do, your risk score went down. If you didn't and you didn't wear a mask and you got around people, then your COVID risk score went up. And then people that got around you, their COVID risk score went up from being around you. They're already talking about implementing this. This COVID pass, they don't say that in this website yet, but I'm telling you this is where it's going to go. They're going to put those type of parameters and tracking measures and monitoring and grade scale in there. That way when you don't do what you're supposed to do, all of a sudden you go into a store. What in the world? My COVID pass isn't working. Little attendant walks over. What's the matter? It's not letting me in. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's showing here that you have a high COVID score. Your threat score is high. I don't know what you've been involved in or who you've been exposed to, but you're not allowed to come into the mall. I can't come into the mall, sir. You can't come into the mall. You're going to have to leave the premises now. You're going to have to quarantine immediately. What are you talking about? I haven't done anything. Dude, sir, your COVID threat score is too high. Security, we need security right now. You have to be escorted off the property. If you do not remove yourself from the property, we will forcibly arrest you and take you off the property. Guys, I'm just trying to go to the mall to buy some new shoes. You have to leave now or you will be trespass warned. What is going on? Guys, that is exactly what they have in mind because this is exactly what they do in China right now. They've been doing it for years with the social credit score. You look at something on the internet you're not supposed to. You hang around people that have a low social credit score. Your social credit score goes down. You jaywalk, your score goes down. You do things you're not supposed to. You do things you are supposed to, it goes up. This is exactly what is being implemented, and most people are so dense, they don't even realize what's happening now. They're too concerned about, oh, we're going to have queue savers. Everything's going to be okay. We're not going to have any mass vaccines. We're not going to have this stuff. We still got indictments that got to get unsealed. Guys, wake up. It's happening right under our noses, and most people are too sleepy to even see what's going on. But they have now the COVID pass already ready to go, fully operational in, what, 2 months? Come on, guys. Give me a break. You really think that's something they just put together in 2 months? This level of technology that's going to monitor and trace and track and score every single thing every person does in the entire world, this has been years in the making, and now they have the perfect excuse to roll it out. The question is, how many of us are going to capitulate and sign up for COVID pass so we can get back to a normal way of life? Or are we going to stand our ground and say, no, I have the constitutional right and I have the God-given right to travel freely, unmolested on my way. I do not have to get a pass. Remember what I've said, and I've said this for years, free men don't ask permission. Slaves ask for permission. I'm not asking for a pass to go do something. I do not need a pass to do something. If I want to travel, if I want to eat, if I want to go somewhere, I can do so as much as I want, whenever I want. Always remember that, guys. Free men don't have to ask permission, Dad.
Austin, that was really well said, and you're absolutely right. And we've been warning people for years now about the Chinese credit score program that they put together. Remember, the Rothschild banking cartel owns China's Federal Reserve System, the Chinese Federal Reserve. They control the economy in China. They control the politics in China. They're a communist country. The Rothschilds are the same ones who overthrew Russia. This is the same group that overthrew China. This is the same group that overthrew us with Woodrow Wilson and the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. This is the same group. And to put a communist label on them is kind of silly, because they were not they weren't called communists, you know, 150 years ago. That's not what they were called. They were called, you know, Kabbalists or Luciferians or Druids or the Wicked Ones or the Snake Worshippers or the other names they've had over the decades. I mean, just through the millennium. That's the same group that's doing this. And Austin's 100% right. They've programmed the Chinese now not to jaywalk. They've programmed the Chinese now not to speed. They've programmed the Chinese now to basically do what they're told to do, or they can't get a bus ticket or a train ticket or an airline ticket. They have to be good little slaves, or they won't get these things. So they already have a Chinese social credit score. So now all this COVID pass is another other name for a Chinese social credit score with a COVID pass name on it. That's all it is. You're a good little slave. Now, here's the cue switch on it. Don't worry about this. This is not a big deal. Go ahead and get your COVID pass. There's 175 indictments about to be unsealed. We're just doing this as part of the master plan. Go along with Trump. Go along with Q. Go along with what they're telling you to do, because it's the right thing to do, because it doesn't mean anything, because all of this stuff's going to go away. So all the little slaves will go, oh, okay, let's get our COVID pass. It's Trump's Q. He's doing this. He's the Messiah. What is wrong with these people that believe this stuff? No, it's not okay to dig the ditch for your own grave. That's not okay. You know, why in the world you got two nuts there with a machine gun, with a 20-round magazine in each machine gun, right? With 100 people digging a ditch. Well, the worst thing that happens is they basically attack the guys who have the machine guns. Some of them die, but they don't have to dig their own ditch. If you're going to die digging the ditch anyhow, you might as well die charging the machine gun nest. That's how I look at it. Instead of standing there and just allow yourself to be shot and fall into the ditch. But of course, a lot of the guys who did that, when we see the videos from World War II, they were drugged. They were drugged first. They probably got a crap load of fluoride dumped in them before they went over there and dug the ditch and stood in front of the hole. The craziest part that I saw with the videos where the bodies are already in the ditch, and these other people willingly walk up and line up before the ditch and get shot, or the next group line up in front of them. I mean, it's unbelievable what you can do as far as conditioning the human psyche to basically disassociate and say, it won't happen to me. And that's what these guys do. In fact, it's so crazy now. We've got a Harvard professor. He's blaming Christianity's malignant belief in an afterlife for lockdown protests. Now, this is from Breitbart. I mean, listen to this. Harvard psychology professor Steven Pinker said Thursday that the push for reopening society from lockdowns comes from Christianity's malignant delusion of belief in an afterlife. Okay? Guy's a nut. Atheists who believe in this life alone are more concerned with health and safety, Professor Pinker suggested in a tweet, while Christians tend to devalue actual lives and live a life of riskier existence. What? Belief in an afterlife is a malignant delusion. What's really behind Republicans wanting a swift reopening? Evangelicals. What? Pinker was responding to an article this week in the Washington Post which examined findings that Democrats take the virus more seriously than Republicans and are willing to support restrictive government edicts in response to the pandemic. In other words, they want to be slaves. He goes, they start quoting scripture. He goes, in that article, contributing columnist Gary Abernathy declares that a literal belief in eternal salvation, eternal life, help explains the different reactions to life-threatening events like coronavirus, he states. Evangelicals take it to heart when James, the book of James, reminds them, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Or when Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or when Jesus asks, rhetorically, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? So what they're doing here is they're saying that these guys are now saying that Christianity is the reason that we don't want to be locked up like slaves. Well, let's take a look at this guy. Let's pull his Wikipedia page up. This Pinker. His name's Steven Pinker. He's got his own Wikipedia page. It says he was born you already know where this is going. You guys have heard me do this before, so you know what's going to happen. Stephen Arthur Pinker, born September the 18th, 1954, is a Canadian-American cognitive psychologist, linguist, and popular science author. He's a Johnstone Family Professor in the Department of Psychology at Harvard University and is known for his advocacy of evolutionary psychology and the computational theory of mind. Now, so this guy's pretty smart. He's in some wild stuff here as far as in psychology. But let's look at his personal life. Let's look at his biography. Pinker was born in Montreal, Quebec in 1954 to a middle-class Jewish family. His parents were Rosalind and Harry Pinkerton. His mother's maiden name was Weisenfeld. His grandparents immigrated to Canada from Poland and Romania in 1926, and they owned a small necktie factory in Montreal. His father, a lawyer, first worked as a manufacturer's representative, while his mother was a homemaker. Okay? Now, it's not talking about if he was an Orthodox Jew. He says about his Jewish background. I'm reading you from the Wikipedia page. Don't fuss at me. About his Jewish background, Pinker says, I was never religious in the theological sense. I never outgrew my conversion to atheism at 13, but at various times was a serious cultural Jew. As a teenager, he says he considered himself as an anarchist until he witnessed civil unrest following a police strike in 1969 when, as a young teenager in proudly peaceable Canada during the romantic 1960s, I was a true believer in Bakunin's anarchism. I laughed off my parents' argument that the government ever laid down its arms, all hell would break loose. Our competing predictions were to be put to test at 8 a.m. on October the 17th, 1969, when the Montreal police went on strike. The divisive empirical test left my politics in tatters and offered a foretaste of life as a scientist. Now, this is all the research stuff that he's talking about. You go look at his Wikipedia page. He's telling you that he's a hardcore atheist. He doesn't believe in an afterlife. Now, why in the world would he now go in and attack Christianity? Why? Because the Christians are the last bulwark, the last foundational stone, the last rampart, the last moat, the last whatever you want to call it, to this onslaught of secularism and this belief that we're nothing but animals, and once we die, we're gone, we're dead. That's what these guys believe. So they believe you got to get all you can while you're here, sit on the can, and give it to the next generation, and continue to monitor and to control the political views of the country, and continue to put your hedonistic, sick, perverted, death-oriented lifestyle choices into fruition even while you're gone. That's the group of the Sabbateans that believe all of this crazy stuff to invert everything. So are you saying that this guy is a complete and total heathen? I don't know what his lifestyle choices are. I know he's not saved. I know he's not born again. I know he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I know he doesn't even believe in eternal life. That's what he says himself. That's a sad, sad way to live. I mean, think about that for a second. If all we have is this momentary time we're here on this planet, and then we're gone, and we're gone for eternity, never to be heard or seen from again, what is that? What are we, an animal? Are we an ant? Are we a dog? Well, according to these guys, that's pretty much all we are. We're a biological evolution of a sentient being that has the ability to have creative thought and concrete rational thought. That's all these guys think we are. And I remember all this secular stuff at Florida State University. They were teaching this stuff all the time. Junk. Because I was out there for so many years. And finally, I thought, God, these guys are a bunch of nuts. And finally, I remember I had this guy who was in my biology program. He was a genetics professor. And his dissertation had been on the theory of evolution. I'll never forget this. And he had done his dissertation on evolution. And one day, one of us in class asked him about his theory of evolution. He's a genetics professor. And he says, well, I did a mathematical model, you know, and I extrapolated what would happen if you took hydrogen and oxygen and all these different things and amino acids, and we basically developed slime, we developed, you know, amino acids, we developed all this other kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, over a period of eons of time, human beings evolved from the slime. And he goes, it's a mathematical impossibility. It didn't happen. It couldn't have happened. It never happened. He said, the age of the universe is not capable of doing that. He said, it just didn't happen. It's not how we got here. Of course, he was terminated the following semester from Florida State University because he actually breached the code of we're from the slime and we were created when lightning struck a rock and all this other stupid stuff these guys believe. This is the problem with secularism. You can't take it back far enough to make them understand that the theory itself is so full of holes that it can't even be possible or even plausible. So here we are. We know that we were created. We know we have a genetic code that's incredibly advanced. And we have a three-dimensional infrastructure inside of our DNA, which is a coiled helix, which is an antenna to God. That's what it is. It's an antenna to God. Part of our DNA is in a different dimension, that our body communicates with its own organs via scalar waves and longitudinal waves, and that we have the ability to speak to and to coordinate our actions and to be part of, through our covenant with Jesus Christ, to the Most High God. They don't want us to believe any of that because they have a different God, don't they? I really kind of wonder if some of these guys that espouse these crazy theories, if really on the weekends, they kind of think the universe is a tree and there's a big snake in it and they're worshiping the snake. And yeah, they're talking about Christ in a negative way. Why would they do that? Because like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's power in the name of Jesus. And anybody who's ever been born again, who's ever watched themselves or a family member change and become a Christian, a real Christian, a person who loves God, who loves Jesus, who's willing to follow Christ and change their life and change their lifestyle, then they see the power. They realize they didn't do that on their own. It was because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that gave them the power to be able to do that. I mean, you had people like Paul, you know, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was well-educated, who could have got converted to Christianity because Jesus showed up, basically knocked him off a horse and blinded him, got his attention. Then you got people like Peter, who was a fisherman, who became so well known that he went and preached all over the Middle East and converted so many people, but he wasn't even educated, but he had the power of the Holy Ghost inside of him, allowing him to speak in a way that people go, wow, where did the guy learn all this stuff? It's to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So guys, remember today that God loves you, and so do I, that I prayed for you today, that I stationed angels around you, that I pled the blood of Jesus over you, and I put a hedge of thorns about you to protect you. Guys, stand with God. When we stand with God, we may be judged by men, but I'd rather stand with God and be judged by men than stand with men and be judged by God. Always remember that, guys, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Austin, go ahead and finish up the show. Love you guys.
Well said, extremely well said. And, you know, the biggest thing that we all are going to have to really make a decision on the next couple months with what's going on is what Dad and I keep saying. Where is the line in the sand? You can't wait until something's right on your doorstep to say, hey, I think this is where I put my foot down now. You have to have that resolve. Excuse me. You have to have that resolve way before that situation occurs. It's kind of like practicing for something, whether you're fighting competitively or you're golfing or whatever sport you're playing. You don't show up and say, you know what, I know I haven't even prepped for this. I have no idea what we're even doing. I haven't even practiced anything. Heck, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just here to compete. You can't do that. You're not prepared. You're not well planned. You don't know what's about to happen. You don't have anything, you know, a point to go off of. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to kind of wait and see what happens over the next couple months with the COVID pass or the vaccine. And, you know, we'll just see what happens. No, you got to run through scenarios now. You have to understand what's going on now and pre-plan those situations on how you're going to handle them to the best of your ability. Now, there's always variables that change. There's always variables that change. There's always different things that are going to happen. It's never going to happen the way you expect it to. But if you can at least go through a few different scenarios and understand what may possibly happen, run through them in your mind, practice anything out you need or get prepared for things the way you want. Like, that's what I would say. That's why nothing really bothers me much when a lot of stuff happens. With the hurricanes and storms, all stuff happened. You know, got a little bit of food, got some water, got medic kits, got weapons, train well, exercise well, healthy. All right, send it. Let's go. See what happens. But see, that's where we have to start getting to. And, you know, one thing that I know we can do, and here's something that we can do, if they start trying to track this stuff, you refuse and you keep your phone in one of the, like, RFID blocker bags. They make those. I mean, look at those and maybe get some and throw them on the website. You know, we all use our phones now. There's no way around that anymore. We all got our phones for something. And so if you're going to go out and about, you put one of those in there. Because I mean, it's like basically like putting it in a microwave, not turning it on, but it blocks everything. It completely kills whole signal. It just disappears. That's something that I think we all should start encouraging, especially if they start doing this. Because that way, if you need your phone somewhere, you pull up your phone, you got to call somebody, whatever, you put it back in the bag, done. Go wherever you're going to go. Go from there. Leave it where you're going to leave it. That's probably one of the best things that we can do to prevent this thing from escalating. Because if you start having 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million people say, no, we're not going to participate in this. No, you're not going to track us. Guys, that's quite a bit of people saying no. And so that's what everybody has to realize is we have the personnel. We have the people. We have it all here. We just have to utilize it. It's right in front of us. Are we really going to sit back and allow a couple groups of bankers to go in and control 330 million people in this country when we're as well-armed and as well-trained and as awake as we are in this country? It's an embarrassment if we do. We at least have to stand up and fight and say, no, we're not going to go quietly into the night. We will at least make our voice heard, like Dad said. So again, thank you for the support. Get this information out there. Talk to people. Come up with different ideas. Come up with scenarios. You guys feel free to email me stuff if you want. There's all types of different things. I love getting feedback from people. But be aware and be awake of what's really going on right now. If you guys need anything, be sure to give us a call, healthmasters.com. Lots of stuff on the website, as always. The D3 10,000 K2s on sale right now, the last day of product of the week, and also the Freedom 5 coupon. Extended it one more day. Had some people that missed out on it, so we went ahead and extended the whole thing. So it'll be going till tonight at midnight. Freedom 5, 5% off regular price products on the website for Memorial Day. Thank you guys for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.